What up, motherfuckers? Welcome to the Flat Bottom Girls podcast. Maddie Smith is in the building.
I'm Jordan Jensen, and we've had one hell of a week.
It's been one motherfucking hell of a week, and that is because, I don't know, I feel like things are ramping up virtually because people are panicking about the winter. I have a lot of virtual meetings and stuff going on right now.
And yeah,
I feel like it's that, like, things are going inside. Let's be overproductive because we don't want to lose any of our steam as the lockdown comes.
Yeah, I've had, you know what I've had is a lot of podcasts. I've been recording on a lot of people's podcasts.
Lots of podcasts. I'm hosting a lot of Zoom trivia. Got a lot of virtual gigs. I don't know. Is it fun to wake up and do like 6 virtual meetings in a day? Not bad. You get to wear.
It's not bad. Yeah. It's not bad. Yeah, I had a virtual meeting with my manager the other day. It went great. Yeah. It's, you know, I mean, there isn't anything bad about it. I'm very much a homebody right now, so I'm really okay with it.
Me too. I love being at home. I'm nervous for my life on the other side of this because I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep up with whatever I was doing before, but
yeah, I'm getting freaked out about shows shutting down as I always do, but I feel more zen than ever this round, which rules. Right. I don't know what. No, I think because, yeah, it's just, I think I'm more zen right now because of how fortunate it's been. And also, I think it's also like everybody's in this, and to be a little bit of a baby about it feels so selfish and shitty. Also, I went to an outdoor show the other day and it was like really fun and great, but it was also like I'm a little bit maxed out on the ye olde hang. It was hoo boy.
Yeah, and you know what? It's like, I think by now I thought we would all be back inside. I thought the outdoor shows would be over. So now it's like, oh, another week. Oh, another week. We're still here.
Yeah.
And it feels very like, what are we doing?
Totally. I agree. I'm almost like sick of seeing people. But it's definitely scary. I think I also, yeah, I don't know. I think I also have, something has happened over quarantine where I'm completely incapable of handling the cold. It's like, mm-hmm. I've never been like this, but for some reason, yeah. So now the idea of not having to get on the train at all and go to, you know, is really sick.
Dude, I think it was our show that we did at the Tiny Cupboard that first, yeah, like cold night. I was like, this is awful.
Yeah,
not our show, but like standing in that 40 degree, it was probably 60, but I was like standing in this 40 degree rooftop weather. People are like, bring layers, bitch. Don't fucking ask me to do this.
Yeah.
I'm done.
I did a podcast yesterday and the guy was talking about how sick the Austin scene is, and it's like pop, you know, all this.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't even tell me this, dude. There's like such a little bug inside me that's like, all right, we're going to fucking Austin. Pack it up. And I'm like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know about your thriving outdoor scene. Okay.
I know. I also feel like the LA scene's going to pick up a little bit and then we're going to be the ones who are like, what? So it might suck, but at the end of the day, we're still in New York City and we're still the best comics in the world, motherfucker.
I love every time I talk to Daniel Simonson, Daniel's like, New York, it is the best comedy. Every time I talk to that boy, he goes in on it. It's so refreshing. He's like,
that's great.
I just, even the open mics are better than any show in Norway. And wow. I'm like, it's so, just so you guys know, that's a perfect impression of Daniel Simonson.
Amazing. He's from Norway or somewhere cold. And yeah, it is true. Other scene, you know what? I don't want to get into a little battleground area here of what all the scenes are like, but without a doubt, we have the strongest, I think, tightest pussied comedians.
Hey, are you looking at me?
I am looking at the screen. I'm on a new computer where the webcam is like below the computer.
So you know what it looks like to me, right? It looks, I mean, it's crazy what I'm looking at right now. This is like, it looks like you're very mentally unwell. It looks like you can't make eye contact with me because something will happen inside your mind that will snap if you look at me for one moment. But it's crazy.
I'm on a desktop computer because thank you, Apple. You've had my MacBook for 2 weeks. What are you, stealing my Pilot? What are they, stealing all my scripts in there? So now I have this webcam, this jacked
webcam. Oh, there you are.
Webcam.
Hey, buddy. But there's my friend Maddie.
I'm looking into the webcam, but it's actually lower than you.
Yeah, I totally
get it. If I raise the webcam, now it's
But right now in front it's of like you. Almost even scarier because it's just. There you go. There it is. That's right at me. That's
but
nice.
But I can't hold it there. Or right. I could do this. Just what Tucker.
Me and Maddie Maddie had a Zoom show the other day that was very well attended, very well run, very fun, very happy that she had me on. And there was a man.
Yep.
Who took his clothes off.
Yeah. So here's how I learned that I might have an insane following.
That dude was so scary.
I know. I'm doing a new joke show every Tuesday. You know, the next one's in 2 Tuesdays, guys. Come out. The Tuesday before Thanksgiving, we'll be there. I got freaks on this past Zoom show. I got a guy. I made a joke. I was like, I go to Equinox. And if you guys remember, didn't think so. You're all ugly. Ha ha. Laugh. Scripted jab at the audience. 5 seconds later, I look up, and there's a guy standing in the corner of his mobile park living room with no shirt on.
Mobile park.
Sinewy arms. Looks like he works at a Sunoco.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, are you good? And he's like, oh, you called us all ugly, and I wanted to prove to you that I'm not. And this was within like 4 minutes of the show starting. And then another guy came in. His name was Mike Hunt. And he said, you are ugly. And then things just dissipated into chaos for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think a lot of the normal people who were on the show left because it was too chaotic.
I don't know about that. It was riveting.
It was riveting, but the audience went from like 40 to 19 people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm like, bitch, fair weather friends. Maybe I should start charging.
I mean, that was a spooky dude. Yeah. Maybe they were just so outraged. I don't know. But there was one guy laying on the rug. I just try not to look through the audience members, but it was so funny because Maddie's being like, are you... She was like, what are you doing, buddy? Why are you just standing there? What's going on? And then, like, to swipe through the audiences, and it was, like, regular. Oh, boy. And there's just, like, a dude standing, like...
Right.
But he was standing with his, like, back super straight and just looking down at the camera like he had never seen it before. Like, it was like, you had walked into his apartment and been like, you ugly bitch. And you were like... And he was like, all right, and took his shirt off. It was so
funny. He was standing in front of his camera... As if I was his mom and it was 2 a.m. and he was telling me he just threw up in his bed.
Oh, my God. That's exactly what it was. Yes. Like, he was still asleep and came into your room and was like, something weird happened. That was...
Mom.
That's exactly what it is.
And then he put it on and then he took it off again. And I was... If he stepped 1 foot back, we would have seen his dong.
Yeah. He had his cum gutter showing.
V's were out.
The V's were out.
So I had to make an executive decision and turn off his video. And then I also had to remove Mike Hunt from the group. And by then, it was 8:30, and the show was chaos.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think I do need to work on maybe doing, like, an entrance period of 8 to 8:15. Because people come in, full volume on. You can hear every room of their house creaking and cracking.
Yeah.
While Drew's on stage.
Mm. Drew did great, though. He really handled it.
Shout out to Drew Drevianco. Actually crushed.
He did crush.
Despite the most chaos. Yeah.
I think you'll work out the kinks. I wonder what the best way to do it is. When you enter, I don't know. When you come in mute and then unmute, be respectful. There needs to be laws of the land.
I think there's some Zoom toggles I can toy with. And I also kind of assumed that no one would come to these, and mm-hmm. it would just be me and my family.
Mm-hmm.
So when 40 people were in all at once and the sound was crazy, I was like, okay, I guess this is not a bad problem to have.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't notice the cricks and creaks. I thought it was great.
Yeah. It was fun. Jordan crushed. If you guys come out to the next one, it's in the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, whenever the fuck that is, Tuesday, November 24th at 8 p.m. on Zoom.
It was really fun. It was Maddie's a great host. Please tune in.
Oh my God. Thank you, Jordan.
You're welcome. I really want my sense of smell back in other news. I was just thinking about this.
Yeah, so let's get some info on someone who had COVID, allegedly, back in March. What's the vibes now? Let's get a real-time update. We should put you on today. Good Morning America.
Dude, I was just talking about it last night with my friend, and she was like, it's so crazy. You don't have a sense of smell. I was just thinking the other day as I was bike riding. I know she listens to this. Hey, Taylor, what's up? I love you. And she was like, I was just biking the other day. And I, you know, all the smells, I was like so happy that I was, you know, and I was like, all right, shut up. Okay. Right. But yeah, it is just, I can only smell two smells. It's very aggravating.
Are the smells?
Crock pot and like synthetic fruit, like fun dip. Crock pot and fun dip.
Crock pot is a very general term. Anything in the crock pot or?
It's like halal. It's like halal. I can smell it if I smell my view. Oh, God, it's so awful. It's so annoying. And there's
that
no...
That would be the most concerning thing for me is the body odor. Because Andrew tells me I smell before I know it.
I have to make the boys smell my stuff all the time.
Right.
Mike shit his pants 2 days ago while he was talking to me, and I couldn't even smell it. I couldn't even smell my own son's poop.
Right.
This is sandalwood right here. Nothing.
You could swallow essential oils and it wouldn't affect you.
No.
So is your sense of taste also off?
Probably, nope. The only thing else that's happening is I have insane sinus pressure and like really a lot of discomfort in my eyes and nose. But like when I took another COVID test because I don't know about the antibodies, it felt so good to have that thing up in there and relieve it. But so I don't know. If anybody hears this and has ideas, I'm doing scent training, which means I just smell everything for a long time. I will say I spent a really long time last night trying to smell the sandalwood, and I just smelled it now, and I can get a tiny scent of it. It's just everything kind of has a crock pot overtone that takes a long time to penetrate. Very weird.
What I wonder is, will they ultimately have a treatment for you guys who have suffered in this way? Or if this is the rest of your life and it's like you were someone at Chernobyl and in 60 years you'll be interviewed, you know, by some high schooler for your experience with COVID-19?
I think that my smell will slowly return. I've like been polling audiences. Like I've been like, who lost their sense of smell? And then everybody who lost it, I'm like, did it come back? They all say yes. There's a couple people who've been like, it came back weird. And then there's a couple people who've had the same thing as me, where everything smells like pussy. But it is like, yeah, I think it'll come back. It went from zero to crock pot to like a little bit of the under thing with crock pot. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it is, people are saying it's neurological. I am going to go on the record right now and say that I feel like it's sinus. I feel like it's something. I feel like COVID damages like the sinus cavity or some shit that makes the smell happen. Because I can like feel maybe I'm just dealing with allergies in a rainy day, but it feels like since COVID, I've always had this like weird tingling up here. So that's what I think.
Honestly, that's probably the worst after effect of COVID is loss of taste and smell. That fucking sucks. Other than dying, of course, but we're talking about those who...
No, there are worse ones. There's like... I'm very thankful that I didn't get any hearing. Like, some people just, like, lost hearing in one ear, like, have a ringing. That would be a nightmare. Or, like, anything visual would give me a panic attack for the rest of my life. Yeah. So... It feels like I'm colorblind. Like, it doesn't affect me until I think about it, and then sometimes I need to ask for assistance.
Speaking of, I have a colorblind boyfriend. Shout out to those with the disability. I am here for you. I understand you. You are seen.
Do you have to, when he comes out, do you have to be like, you march your ass back in there? You're wearing two.
No, basic. Because all of his clothes are gray and blue. So he doesn't go crazy with the colors. Sometimes he wears a red shirt, but for the most part, Andrew wears blues and grays.
Isn't that the hardest thing for him to differentiate between?
Yeah, but blue and gray kind of goes together. You know, like blue jeans and a gray shirt. He's not really a crazy dresser, so. But also, he doesn't know what colors I'm wearing. And he didn't know I had, like, red hair until, like, a few months ago.
That's so wild. I love it.
Yeah.
I like his joke about that very much.
Yeah, oh, where, yeah, that's a good one.
What is it where you went from being, like, kind of annoying to, like, kind of slutty or something?
I think he says, you know, they say redheads are mean, or something, and I'm colorblind, so I didn't know she was a redhead. I thought she was just a bitch.
Yeah. It's good.
Actually true.
Mike now, is colorblind. He'll come in and be like, oh, I love my purple shirt. And I'm like, it is simply red. That's a red shirt you're wearing.
Right. Oh, they're so unique. I always wonder if it's colorblind or just ignorance. Because, you know, men, I think men see all faces as blurry, too. Like, they don't.
I know. Like, it's very true. Yeah. The amount of times it'll be like, you look like this woman. And I'm like, that is a dog. You're looking at a small dog.
That's a
picture of George Washington. What's wrong with you?
I know. I don't know what's going on in their brains. But speaking of COVID, lockdown, I think, is imminent. We got the 10 p.m. curfew starting on Friday for bars, restaurants, and gyms. Andrew Cuomo just announced. How do we feel based on this information?
Okay, I am just learning this information now. The only information I have...
From me? You just learned from me?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Bro, I wake up at 2 p.m. and, you know, I spend all day in a hole. Just a deep...
Right.
A deep hole. Okay, how do I feel... No, what information did I hear? I heard that he was doing... So somebody was like, we're having this show on Saturday at our house. And then they were like, oh, shit, on Friday they're reducing the... You know, you can't have people over 10 people.
Well, who's having a show at their house?
Jim Kamich.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't... That wasn't me outing COVID. That was me wondering if I'm invited. But,
Oh. It's Joffer Khan.
Oh, yeah, I saw him at Hannah Boone's party. Okay, anyway. No,
oh, yeah. But it's like a show. I don't know if it's... I think it's in their backyard. In fact, I know it's in their backyard, but I think the gathering at people's houses. So that reduces backyard shows, which to me are my favorite. I love the I love the backyard ones. And I think that probably reduces the rooftop. And I just had that, you know, that girl... Allie, who runs really dope shows in Manhattan, she was like, I think I'm going to cancel. So that had already affected it. But now the 10 p.m. curfew, I mean, maybe people will, I don't know. I think it's great. I mean, I think I'm really proud of the city for it.
I also think it's kind of weird to continue doing comedy shows while a lot of places in New York City are heavily affected by COVID. It feels like we're dancing on graves at this point.
I agree.
I feel like we should all just be like, all right, let's take another pause. You know, why would we, even if it's outside, I feel like anything you can do to lessen the blow, and if you're going to be getting in an Uber to go to your shows and stuff, you might as well just call the shows. I'm booked on a variety of shows, but I do think they'll slow down because I feel like people are going to be like, why would I have a show when Staten Island's like about to explode?
I was at that Take It Outside one last night, and it was like, I mean, a huge amount of people there. But then, you know, it's just like all the comics are hanging out. We're all not, you know, all of our masks are down. Like, it's, you know, I like went to hug somebody and they're like, and I was like, oh, yeah, like. I do have a whack mentality about it because I already got it. Like, so I'm not being as, like, I'm just not and then I lost my sense of smell, right? So it's, like, other people are, I'm like, oh, yeah, you're trying not to get it and to, like, lose an entire fucking sense right now. Like, and that's the most minimal level, you know what I mean? And it's, like, I'm forgetting that people our age are also, like, hey, I also don't want to have all of these negative consequences that we didn't know were there, and now we know we're there.
Totally.
So... I think
for a while the rates were so low in New York City too that people kind of like lost their strictness with their hygiene, like not hugging, not high-fiving, yeah. not shaking hands. And I think we have to get back to that caution that we were using in March, April, May.
Yeah, and I think keeping the circles close and, you know, I mean, I went over to a friend's house the other day and they were like, you know, oh, we keep the circle close. And I was like, yeah, but I also live with a nurse. So if you're keeping your circle close, like, cut me out of it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're like, I have people over without masks, I shouldn't be, you know what I mean? Like, so there's so many variables and like, you know, Ethan won't do even the 25% capacity shows. Like he just won't do them just because. So I think it's a little bit, I think it's been really difficult for people to be like, it's in the prerogative of the person, the individual, to decide what they're doing. And you're like, okay, well, that's like saying to an alcoholic, like, hey, if you want to, you know, the bar is open. And it's like, okay, well, comedians are always going to say yes to shows. So like any restrictions is helpful for us because it means we don't have to kick ourselves for not going to shows because of COVID. So I'm like, yes, lay down the law. And when it comes to a pandemic, I'm like, become way more. People are like, this is fascism. I'm like, this is an unprecedented event that hasn't happened in our lifetime, and they should be a little bit fascist about it, you know?
I agree. Because without any sort of legislation, I will be out until 1 a.m. If there's a 10 p.m., and even like the indoor dining thing, like, yeah, it's not good for you, but now that it's there, okay, might as well. They said we could. You're not going to do, who's going to be the hall monitor goody two shoes in this situation? Mm-hmm. No one wants to be. But if they put more laws in, I'm fucking in.
So he reduced it to 10 p.m. and what else? Is 25% capacity gone?
No, but the restaurants and everything are closing at 10 p.m. And I think that's just, I think he's literally signaling to us like it's coming. So here's your mental prep, 10 p.m. curfew. And then I think like next week it's going to be like, all right, we're shutting down indoor dining. I think like they're doing that 10 p.m. thing to get us ready. So that's not like, what the fuck? That's my theory.
Yeah. I really am not. I hate going to bars. So it's very much all right with me. I think that, the limits on the hangs in the houses is good. Although, how the hell are they going to enforce that? How? No cop is going to break up a hang. No cop is going to knock on your doors and count how many roommates are present. Like, it's so weird that...
I know. That's why it's also, like, on the other side of it, it's like, why the fuck would we even try?
Yeah.
Because it's inevitable that people are going to do some shit and the cops aren't... Yeah, they're not going to barge into apartments because on top of fucking COVID pods, they also have to do whatever cops do. I don't know. So it's like, that's not even would be their top 20th priority as cops. And then Thanksgiving is 2 weeks, and you know every family is going to get fucking together and they're going to be like, well, we've all been safe. But when you get a group over five people, that expands your risk by so much.
Yeah.
I think so many people are going to get together over Thanksgiving, and then after that, it's, like, pretty much over.
I was talking to a comic the other day who was saying that she was hoping that when everybody went home for the holidays, that would, like, reduce numbers, you know what I mean? Like, allow them to settle down. But I don't know if that makes sense.
I don't know about that. I feel like if I went home and I was under one roof with, like, my sister who works at a hospital, my dad, he's retired, that doesn't matter. My mom works from home. But you just expand. And if we bring, like, New York City germs to upstate, everything just magnifies by so much, I think.
Are you going home for Thanksgiving?
No, actually, my dad's going to come here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is he immunocompromised?
No.
That's nice that he's going to come there. Just you and him are going to have...
Yeah, I think him and my sister is going to come, and it's just the three of us under one roof. He's like 65, and he literally sits inside all day, plays the guitar, and smokes weed at night. So I think it's fine, and we'll just be in our apartment, and we'll just, like, eat turkey and maybe go to the park. That's pretty much so nice. I'm pretty pumped. No one ever comes to visit me. And now you get to be like, yo, what up? This is where I buy coffee. It's called Dunkin' Donuts. And then you go to your grocery store and you're like, oh, look, and there's the bridge, you know?
I would just like to say that I have lived in New York for 5 years or whatever. And my sister has never come and visited me.
Right.
My one mom has come multiple times, but my other two moms have been once. My stepbrothers have never. I'm like, bro, yeah. Why do I gotta come to goddamn Ithaca, New York, so we can fucking be in the freezing cold? You don't come here. We go to a... It's so crazy. I know. It's so wild.
Why is it that if you live in New York City, like, people just don't... They, in their head, they're like, it's too complicated!
Yeah.
Because if you lived in, like, Philly or Chicago, they would be there once a year, in my humble opinion.
My friends from home visit all the time, but my family just never comes out. It's wild. But
something about, like, they, like, I remember one time my dad came, the parking made him, like, lose his mind.
Yeah.
There was, like, midday traffic where it took him 40 minutes to go 3 miles. I get it. Now I'm in Queens, though. It's a lot more suburban. And no one lives here, and it's going to be over Thanksgiving. So I think it should be fine.
Yeah, I have the, yeah, I know. I just feel like when people come, I'm like, in the past, I've, like, been doing a lot of shows and stuff, too, so yeah. I, like, have to abandon them, and I'm like, please don't come to this at fucking Beauty Bar in the middle of the goddamn night.
I know. That's the other thing. When people come visit, they'll come to a show, and then right after, you're like, thanks for coming. I actually have to leave. And they're like, meet us later. And you're like, I'll be done at 2. Will you still be out? And then you, like, never see them. You don't see them for the next 4 years.
But now that people are growing up, this is amazing. I have my friend Nellie is coming on Saturday. She's like, I got a hotel. Don't worry about it. And I'm like, hell yeah, dude.
Yes.
You're just going to be there. We're not going to step foot in my house. We're going to live in that hotel.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love when we're not 25 years old. People got their disposable income and they use it appropriately. No, we're not sharing my full bed. Get out.
This is my friend Nellie, who's bringing her girlfriend here.
Oh.
And her girlfriend is getting straight up deported. Her girlfriend works for the Israeli airline, and which shut down because of COVID. And they were like, hey, you know how we, like, give you your work visas in the United States? Well, because we're shut down, you're shut down. So they're, like, breaking up, and the girlfriend is being shipped back to Israel.
Oh, what?
And Nellie's coming here, and she's like, let's get fucked up. Like,
whoa. Yeah. I feel like she's been mentioned on the pod before.
Oh, yeah.
So are they, they're just ending it?
Yeah, they're ending it. Wow. I mean, they gotta end it. What are they gonna do? Have a, you know. Yeah, I think they're also ready to end it. I think they're very much ready to end it also.
Yeah.
It's a convenient deportation.
Oh.
I wish my goddamn ex-boyfriend would get deported. I was just thinking about that. I was like, I gotta get the hell, I gotta get out of the city, dude.
Yeah, totally.
Ugh. I had, like, a run-in at a show the other day. Oh, my God. You know, it's just the most... It's the most brutal thing. It's the most, like... And everybody knows, and then you see... You know, it's like you're two fucking cowboys on the Western Front, like... But I'm trying to be cool as hell. I had also eaten a little bit of mushrooms, so I was, like... Everything was super transparent to me, like, things that people were saying. I was like, oh... I see how you were as a 5-year-old baby, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then I'm trying to juggle this. God, it's really, that was a whole bizarre night.
Dude, exes at events where they still have kind of the same friends and connections as you is absolutely horrendous, in my opinion.
I mean, me and Mike had both eaten these mushrooms and we show up at the park. And I was like, all right, that was a little bit too big of a bite, I think. And we show up there, and this girl that he had kind of, like, said that he couldn't hang out with that night was there. And then my ex was there, and we were like, I mean, fuck me. Are you kidding me? And that girl was there and was like, what the hell, dude, to him, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah, it was really crazy.
Why was she at a show? Is she a comic or no?
She just loves comedy.
Wow. She's the one from... Okay. Wow. That is really awkward. I don't think I've ever had that happen where I sell someone I can't hang and then they see me somewhere. Because usually when I'm canceling plans, I literally am not leaving my house.
Totally, yeah. And if I am, I'm so paranoid. I've definitely done it. I've definitely been like, I don't want to... I feel sick. I've said I feel sick and then showed up and had, yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah, right now I'm in the scenario where the ex is like, well, you're dodging me, dude. And I'm like, dude, how do you feel comfortable saying that out loud? Just let me dodge you. You know what I mean? Don't tell me I'm dodging you. Just let the dodge be dodged.
Let the dodge happen. Dodgeball is on, bitch. Do not fucking...
Do not bring up the dodge.
No, number one rule of dodgeball, do not bring up the dodge.
Yeah, dude. Speaking it blows from my someone, mind. I just feel like you're avoiding me. I'm like, meanwhile, I'm fucking digging a hole in the ground that I can bury myself in. He's like, I just feel like you're trying to get away. I'm like a fucking ghost up in the corner of a ceiling skittering around. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. You're Homer Simpson going into the bushes.
Yeah, exactly. It's so crazy.
Yes, I do feel like the worst thing about dating someone in your field is the breakup. Because you are going to run into those people for the rest of your lives or until they quit. Which, one of them might happen pretty soon.
Who knows? Yeah, you know, yeah. And I'm really good at run-ins. I'm really good at being chill as hell and like, you know, hey, what's up, buddy? What's going on? But the more chill I am, the more, like, alienating it is to them. You know what I mean? Like, they want me to show up and be like, hey, I've been thinking about, but I show up and I'm like, what's up, Diggy Dog? Weird pants you chose to wear today. That's a fucking bizarre choice.
And immediately shoots them down. Their knees buckle. They're like, why is she being normal?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you gotta do it. You gotta do it. I asked my mushroom dealer out on a date. How do we feel about that?
Asking a mushroom dealer
out. Come on. Out,
see, I have never done shrooms. I do know I would never ask a weed dealer out.
He's not a weed dealer. It's a very different breed.
I know. That's why I'm saying that's my only experience is talking to weed dealers. Mm-hmm. And the weed dealer I only ever had, he wore, like, shirts that were blue and had, like, the face of Cookie Monster on them. And
oh, my God.
Very big Etnie shoes and...
Whoa.
And that was in Rochester. What's up, Brian? I don't know if you're still alive, but I appreciated you during that time in my life. But a shrooms dealer, I don't know. I don't know much about shrooms, guys, you know, other than there. I know one guy who grows shrooms, and he absolutely loves them.
I mean...
They're almost too chill, shrooms guys.
I don't know. I don't have enough of a repertoire with them to make a, you know, cohesive archetyping of them. But, yeah, this dude came over to give them to me, and then we just got into a super good conversation about books and stuff. And then I was talking to my friend last night, and she was like, about books.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was talking to my friend, and I was like, should I ask this dude out? Because I never asked people out, and she was like, yes, I'm literally trapped in Alaska with my boyfriend of 10 years. Live... Be free. Do it for me. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. And now, yeah, I'm like, everything's going to lock down. I'm going to have a harem. I want a fucking harem.
Right. Yes. I think that's a good strategy.
I think it is too.
To build a group of people because doing it with one guy, I'll tell you this, between you and me and all 500,000 of our listeners, it sucks. It's not normal. I told my therapist, I was like, dude, we are at each other's wit's end. And she said, like, every couple is going through it right now.
The couple I always talk about as my dream couple, you know,
right.
I go over there and it's like, I walk in and the tension is so high and it's like, yo, how come Joe doesn't have fucking eyelashes? And she's like, because he was blinking over and over, you know?
I ripped out Andrew's lungs. I said, stop breathing, you motherfucking breather.
Every time after the inhale, there's another exhale.
Why? What are you doing? Yoga? What's going on here?
The feeling? Because I feel like our listeners probably are having a similar vibe. I'm not fighting. I feel closer than ever to my roommates. Because I don't know. I think there's like a, we're spending a lot of, we've all kind of agreed to get our rooms in a place where we aren't like the living room, you know, turd. So now it's almost like we're like, oh, hey, fancy meeting you in the kitchen. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's great. Also, whenever Michael's having sex, he's just a joy to be around. So,
With Andrew. With Andrew. We got to make that happen for him because it's not going to be through
I'll send somebody over. I'll send Michael over.
Oh, that'd be great. So if any of you guys are in couples right now and you are feeling it because you both are at home all the time, just know it's a normal situation.
But what is it? What does it feel like? Like, why do you think it's happening? If you had to, Like, what is, you know what I mean? Is it, like, because you're sick of him?
Because you wake up next to them, you work from home next to them, you eat lunch next to them, you make the house messy next to them, you clean up their stuff, you go on walks next to them, and then you're in bed and you're next to them again. It's just, it's a desert island situation. It's really, really so much FaceTime to the point where you're like, I do not want to have sex with you or anyone ever again in my life. How, there's no, like, you know, you don't separate, so there's no, oh, now it's time to get wet. It's like a full day of seeing each other. It's very bizarre.
Does it feel claustrophobic? Like, get the fuck away when I, like, you exit the shower and you're like,
right,
they're right there kind of watching you naked get dressed, and you're like, can you just go?
Right. Sometimes, but we got our separate rooms here, and they all have a door on it, which is very helpful. So our living room has a door on it, and so does our bedroom. So if he's usually at the computer I'm at right now, and then I'll do, like, bedroom stuff. So it's actually, we're ships in the night, you know?
Really? That's great.
Yeah. And then we got a kitchen we can also eat in. So it's very nice, but I think you do hit a point of, like I said, like, you need to leave for Thanksgiving, or else if I spend a road trip with you in the car, I will blow your brains out. I will hit the car on purpose.
Does it feel like the things he's saying are grating, or does it feel like, it's like, I feel like my other couple of friends, the shit that is coming out of each other's mouth is upsetting each other. You know what I mean? Like, they're bickering. Like, one of them will be like, oh, hey, Jordan, come on in. We were just, watching this show. And then the other one will be like, she doesn't give a fuck that we're watching this show. And I'm like, that's okay. You know what I mean? And you're like, yo, you just can't stand the sound of that person's voice anymore.
Yeah, totally. There does feel like some of that, like, I've definitely, like, impulsively, like, scolded him in front of, like, Stuart and Drew before, where he was like, I was like, there was one time where I was like, yeah, I went to the Botanical Gardens a couple months ago. It was great. And Andrew was like, that was like 3 weeks ago. I was like, bitch, no, it wasn't. I'll pull up the... And then we're like fighting about when I went to the Botanical Gardens in front of two people who don't give a fuck. So it's that, like, it's gone from like interior fighting to like now other people can kind of sense it. But I can also sense it between other couples too. So it's not like we're the couple who's like, we're always fighting. It's like every couple is in this right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like my friends, it's like you go over to a couple's house, they pull their shit together, they don't, you know, make a fuss, but now it's like, fuck it all. It's like there's no filter in what would typically be there.
Totally. I think you have to like push through and know that it's like a normal thing. Like, this is not normal circumstances, so I think it's normal to get mad at someone for no reason, but I don't think it's good to, like, impulsively be like, we're not meant to be, because no one's actually meant to be together this much.
Absolutely.
So I think the best thing to do is, like, kind of, like, figure out how to cooperate through the next months or so, while knowing it might not be the most fun time, but ultimately you'll probably be back to...
Yeah, one of my friends is thinking about straight up ending it. She's like, we don't fuck right. It's not good. I don't want to do it anymore. Right. Like, I want out. This other dude fucking loves me. And I'm like, just wait. Just wait a sec. Wait till shit opens up, because they, you know, you go watch them move around with other people. You get aroused. It's good again. But, I mean, yeah, this is a fucked up time. I feel very fortunate to not be in a relationship right now. And I am going to develop my harem of men and, you know, outsource the different parts of myself to them, you know?
Right.
And spread COVID rapidly amongst the male community.
What you need to do is get a foot guy, get a hand job guy, blow job guy, double penetration, and then you got all the parts set.
That's what I need to do. That's what I'm fixing to do.
What other projects do you have planned for the upcoming winter?
I am working on a movie treatment. I'm knitting. See this scarf? Very good. Knitting this. I have this fat stack of books behind me.
Okay.
I'm working on like a little television thing. But mainly, there's a lot of shit going on at home upstate on my farm that is, there's a lot of like carpentry work that needs to be done. Things are falling apart. My sister needs help. She has a daughter. I would like to go hang out with her. So I'm thinking about really like just getting my familial ties in order here and going to help the old fam on the farm.
Totally. I think planning a trip is a good idea. I know Stuart was talking about going back to Arkansas for a while. Mm-hmm. People are doing it.
Yeah.
People are saying March. We didn't think it was going to be 6 months in March, and if I had known, I would have done something more fun than sitting in my apartment. Mm-hmm. So I think people are ready to leave. I don't think I'll go upstate for an extended period because I don't have anywhere to sleep.
Yeah, I don't think I can do extended. I don't think I can do months, but a couple weeks for sure. I'd also like to go to Nashville and see my friends in Nashville. With my truck. I mean, I can just drive my truck around anywhere and just go on a little adventure. But I do think I'll probably be mostly in New York just because it's my space and it's the best place to be. And, you know, I live with my best friend, so it's great. But, yeah, I mean, I think that me going upstate for and being like, I don't know when I'm going to come back. Like, say everything shuts down and I'm like, it's just the books are clear. It's like, that's death for me. That just is a depression session. It's not healthy for
me. Definitely. Yeah. I need an end date.
Yeah.
And I agree. I do need to be in my space. I need to have all my items with me.
Yeah.
All my toiletries as well. I need to have my little routines.
The goos. Okay.
Yeah. The goos. I need my oatmeal or else we lose our mind.
I'll just overeat and become a fat lard ass and start drinking again if I can't.
Me too.
Yeah.
And then I'm mean to people.
Yeah.
Because I hate myself, and then I have to come home early.
So, I think one of my stepbrothers is in Hawaii right now. I'm like, maybe I go to fucking Hawaii.
I would go to Hawaii.
That'd be sick.
Although, I think I heard that the Hawaii population has grown by 100,000 since COVID.
Oh, wow. That's
people
really tough.
Moved in. I think prices are soaring there. And I think there was also a few COVID concerns because I think people brought germs with them.
Oh my God, I wonder how Hawaii's fitting, managing the expansion. I had no idea.
Yeah.
What a bizarre thing. Yeah, I grew up with a lot of people who ended up in Hawaii. It's interesting. It's like the deadbeat.
Right.
Magnet.
People are so impulsive. Imagine a pandemic hitting and you're like, let's move to Hawaii.
Can you believe
It's literally, I just read Fight Club. It's literally like in Fight Club when he's like, he's about to shoot some guy and he's like, what did you want to do with your life that you, if you, would you rather be dead or doing the thing you wanted to do? And this guy's like, I want to be a vet. And then he gets out of people what they want to do with their lives because he almost kills them. That's what the pandemic is for some people.
Oh, I see. An expediting of, what do you want?
Right.
But what nobody want, I mean, that's not true. I guess a lot of people want it. But the idea of just like, you know what I want is to just be completely alienated in an island is like, no, you don't. You want to go on vacation and you also have no life like now, you know?
Totally.
And your work is your life.
I would live in Hawaii if I was a little tanner and if I had a good body.
I would live in Hawaii if I got pregnant with a Hawaiian man. I mean, I don't know. And you know what I mean? And I was just like, well, this is my fate now.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, if I was like a farmer or something, which I could imagine doing, but I really do have to be near a metropolis or I lose my damn mind.
Me too. But I always talk about how much I hate New York, and then I'm a mile out, and I'm like, ugh, get me out of this manure-filled landscape.
It's unbelievable. Even when I go upstate and just lose the sound of the sirens, I start to hear my own inner monologue, and it is just horrifying.
Oh, my mom lives on a lake upstate. That shit is way too fucking quiet.
Do you think you'll go to the lake? No, it's going to be freezing as hell. That's not going to be a fun place to be.
It's actually not freezing. It's not bad. But, you know, my mom works from home all day, so she's just on the computer. And then I feel like every time I go home, I just revert to, like, my high school self.
Same, yeah.
So if my mom's, like, working from home and I'm watching TV, I feel like internally, I feel like she's like, are you going to do anything today? Even though she doesn't think that anymore. I always think people are thinking that when they're working and I'm not. So I'd rather not deal with that. I'd rather be here and hosting Zoom trivia than in a relaxing place where people think I'm like a dipshit.
Yeah, I can just switch from one mom's house to the other mom's, so when one starts to piss me off, I can go back there.
Oh,
But
yeah.
I
That's
also
what I
have
do.
my sister is she is one of these people that is like, she's very bored all the time. She's very lonely, very bored. She does not listen to this podcast, so it's okay. But she does this thing that, oh my God, it makes me so hostile, where she'll be like, Sophia, her 2-year-old daughter, Sophia wants to see you today. Sophia wants to know what you're
Oh,
doing
yeah.
today.
Yep.
Or I'll get a FaceTime with my fucking adorable little fucking niece on the, you know what
Right.
I mean? And I'm like,
Right.
I'm not gonna, you can't manipulate me via this angel, dude. Because you know what's
Totally.
gonna happen? I'm gonna go over there. Sophia's gonna be playing with her toys. And then, you know, I'm just gonna be stuck up there, you know, looking at your suburban renovations,
Right,
okay? So give
right.
me a goddamn break.
Totally. Yeah, I think that's an interesting move by her. That's very manipulative. I respect it a
I
lot.
do
Not
too.
gonna
I do
lie.
too. Use the
Putting
tools
the
you
kids
got.
on. Right. Luckily, I have no kids in my life right now, which is fucking awesome.
Sophia wants to know when you're coming back to Ithaca. Oh my God. And I'm
Oh,
like, tell
yeah.
Sophia to go fuck herself. No, I'm just kidding.
Tell Sophia I got a show in Central Park tonight. All right, and it's raining, so it's probably going to be canceled, but I still can't come.
I kind of want to go and record my sister a little bit. She's so
Yeah.
different than me that, like, you know, I almost want us to get into a fight and record it. Like, she's just
That'd
a
be fun.
wild animal.
You could do like a mini podcast while you're up there.
I know, but I can, you know, we can't, we'll be down each other's throat so quick. Maybe I'll
Yeah.
have her, like,
Yeah.
teach me how to cook. Also, speaking of cooking, that's a new winter project. I'm cooking now. Doing
Okay, I know
great.
I saw on your Instagram yesterday we saw some sweet potatoes, maybe broccoli, a little chicken breast. Is that what that was, or
It
fish?
was haddock. It was a fucking haddock
Oh.
fillet, dude. What's happening? And then I ate a pound and a
I
half of popcorn just to fuck it up. But it was sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hung out with this dude and he was cutting onions and I was like, wow, you cut onions good. And he was like, well, everything you do is like everything you do, or some quote like that. And I was like,
What?
yo,
That
that's
doesn't even make
fucking,
sense.
well, I don't know, something like everything you do, like whatever, do it, whatever. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna try being like precise and like cut, you
Right.
know, fucking be like one of these girls who's like, and now I scrape the fucking cutting board, you know?
Right.
And I
That's
did.
way too many steps, but I respect them.
Yeah. It's a lot of, so I'm gonna try and get into cooking. I'm not gonna get into cooking, but I'm gonna cook more.
Yeah, I've been trying to do more with vegetables. Yesterday, I did like a buffalo cauliflower, and it was
No
actually
way.
pretty good.
Whoa.
Andrew was like coming his pants over it.
How did you do
So
it? Please tell the audience and
you
myself.
literally, guys, all you do is roast the cauliflower florets. You break it up and put it in a pan. A little bit of olive oil and cornstarch on top of the cauliflower, which ultimately helps the sauce hold onto the cauliflower. While the cauliflower is roasting, you mix a little Frank's Red Hot, some melted butter, a little garlic powder, nothing crazy. Pour that over the cauliflower once it's done. Serve with blue cheese. Really good,
Oh
not gonna
my
lie.
God, you know what I heard is a good healthy alternative to cornstarch is arrowroot.
I will not be buying arrowroot. I am A-okay with eating a little bit of cornstarch.
Another thing I need to focus on is how to unage myself before things open back up. You know what I mean?
So, what's your skincare routine right now?
Right now, it's this really expensive shit that Noah had to throw out that's like this. I forget. It's right here. It's like a vitamin C. It's called squalene vitamin C rose oil mixed with ho, and then I
Yeah.
mix it with jojoba oil and sometimes a little vitamin E and shea butter. I mean, I have a
Vitamin
skin where you
C
can
is
just.
very good for your skin.
Is it vitamin
It's
C?
like one of the number one things you can do. Sunscreen, vitamin C, and retinol.
Retinol scares me, but yeah, I have like
A little bit at night.
a little bit at night. Okay.
Yeah, because it's sensitive to the sun.
Ugh.
So, but we don't go outside, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, because you know, you see people out of this quarantine and you're like, wow, you're 34. You know what I mean? You're like a 34-year-old
Yeah.
now.
I've seen a lot of people get a little chunky.
Yeah. I'm just seeing
And
now our age group is wrinkling. I mean, our
I
faces are
know.
falling. Things are happening, you know?
I've seen the faces falling. I could not be more thankful that I signed a lease with a man. because I can't, yeah. I would not be able to get back out there.
I know. It's happening. It's a really weird thing. Like 29, 28. It's really, and it feels like it's all at once where you're just like, holy shit, these smile lines and crow's feet, here they come. They're coming for me. I know.
And then I remember that you have wrinkles and I like straighten my face out. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
you're doing good on the wrinkle front.
Thanks. I'm trying to drink a lot of water.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing a water dance. I got a water lemon cayenne dance going back and forth with these water bottles. It's great.
That's the Beyonce drink. That's what Beyonce drinks.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's right, because I'm Beyonce.
You are bootylicious.
The problem is that the fucking water tastes like dog shit since COVID. I mean, it's really horrifying.
Oh, yeah, well, you got that crock pot smell, so.
Oh, God, the water smells like fucking lamb over rice in here. It is nasty. Ew. It's disgusting. Just gross. Fucking kill me. It's crazy.
Well, anyway, we are at minute 50 of the pod. Shall we close it up with some wise words for our listeners?
Do you recommend the Fight Club book to our listeners?
No, don't read that book.
It was too really?
It was too... Well, you know me. I'm very non-masculine. I don't like those... I'm an intellectual guy. Here's my take on anti... I was like, nah. The movie was better than the book, in my opinion. The
movie is just incredible. I had a big Fight Club poster growing up. My God.
Oh, guys, girl.
Oh,
guys,
yeah. Girl alert. Shirtless fucking black and white Brad Pitt. Get the fuck out of here. You're spanking my meat to it every day. I'm slapping my clit like it's a
slapping the clit.
Snare drum.
Brad Pitt. He was so fucking fine in that movie.
Slapping my clit for Brad Pitt.
He was fucking, and those crazy outfits he wore, it was crazy.
Yeah.
But the movie was more cohesive and coherent than the book. But don't read the book because it's literally the same as the movie, just more chaotic.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm reading Ellen Affronte book 2 called The New Story of a New Name. I am fucking already halfway through it. I'm a slow ass reader. It's unbelievable.
Series. Good job. I'm on, I'm reading a book about Dublin, two Dublin nurses, I can't remember what it's called, during the 1918 Spanish flu.
Maddie, you would read that. What the hell? How is this, how do you go from Fight Club to just like a book about your other life? I mean, that's so crazy.
I like to do like a classic and then like a thriller and then like kind of like a easy fiction and then like a historical fiction and like mix them all up, you know?
Oh, okay. So the historical fiction, are you slogging through it or is it riveting?
No, it's actually a good read.
Let me pull up. Well, this Ellen Affronte trilogy, I'm going to tell you, I go to bed at night reading to fall asleep and I stay up till 4 a.m. reading it. I mean, it's not riveting in like a my absolute darling, like rape fiction. You know what I mean? Where you're just like, I'm reading porn right now. Right. It's riveting in like a, you're in the world so much and curious about people's lives. It's really good.
That's great. So the book I'm reading right now is called The Pull of the Stars, a novel by Emma Donahue.
The Pull of the Stars.
Yep.
Emma Donahue. Donahue.
It's actually pretty interesting because they talk about how the Spanish flu spread through everywhere and it's like the same as Corona, but way fucking worse.
Interesting. Yeah, that's what we have to do right now. I mean, mine is about like a very, very poor Italian community where everybody is downtrodden. I'm like, yeah, we just have to read about more misery.
You literally do. And I've been reading like a lot of thrillers and I'm like, well, at least that's not my life, you know?
Another goal I have, I'm going to fucking master TikTok, dude. I'm going to fucking do it. Also, I would just like to say, if you ask comedians about what their tactic is on TikTok, cagey as hell, dog. Cagey as hell. People do not want to give up tips on how to have the internet work for you.
I see what you mean. Yes, they are. Dude.
Have you had this? They are weird as hell.
A little bit. But I also, I was waiting for TikTok to get banned so I wouldn't have to be on it. And now I'm like, but I have a meeting at 4 p.m. about my social media with my manager. And I feel like it's going to be get on TikTok. So.
Oh, boy.
Woo!
Just think about it as like a fun game to hack the algorithm. That's how I'm thinking about it. And you can just cut up clips and whatever. But man, I've been asking around being like, is it about the hashtag? Is it about the skin? Is it about the... And they're like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, bitch, you have a million views on one whack-ass video. You fucking tell me. And they're like, ah. And I'm like, what do you think is going to happen? I'm going to fucking take away from your fucking tweens.
Some crazy. Out there. Oh, well. Anyway, you guys can catch us on TikTok this week.
Yeah.
Next month as we move into another lockdown second wave. So excited.
We'll be there for you the whole time. Yes. We'll ride the wave together, baby.
Catch a wave and I'm sitting on top of the world.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
See you. Black bottom girls and come black bottom.